Welcome to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with Peggy Hoyt. Our goal is to keep loved pets in loving homes by educating pet parents about the importance of ensuring every pet has a forever home. For more information about creating a legacy for your pet or to listen to archive shows, visit animalcaretrustusa.org or legacyforyourpet.com. Join your host, author, estate planning attorney, and animal advocate, Peggy Hoyt.
Hello, pet lovers. Welcome to All My Children Wear Fur Coats. I'm your host, Peggy Hoyt. This show is brought to you by the law offices of Hoyt and Bryan, where we create estate plans for pets and their people. This show is also brought to you by Animal Care Trust USA, a national nonprofit organization dedicated to keeping loved pets in loving homes. We do this by educating pet parents about the importance of creating a pet trust to provide their pet with lifetime love and care when their pet parent can no longer provide that care. Today, it is my pleasure to welcome our special guest. His name is Bill Bookout, and he is the president of the National Animal Supplement Council. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Thank you so much, Peggy. It's really a pleasure to be here, and I'm so thankful that your organization exists, and because, you know, planning for what happens after we're no longer able to take care of our pets is something we all need to think about, and so I applaud you for the work you do as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that because far too often, every single day on Facebook, I see somebody with a post where they're looking for a home for a loved pet that didn't have a plan.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
All right. So National Animal Supplement Council, what in the world is this organization? Because until recently, I had never heard of it.
Yeah. The National Animal Supplement Council, this is our 20th anniversary. We were founded 2001 to deal with the lack of a specifically recognized category for products that are similar to human dietary supplements that are marketed for dogs, cats, or horses, non-human food chain animals. So NASC was formed in 2001 to responsibly address this issue on behalf of all stakeholders. And what I mean by that is it was the industry, certainly regulatory people, meaning FDA and state regulators, downstream business partners, suppliers, and not least importantly, animal owners and the animals themselves. So we handle dog, cat, and horse products similar to human dietary supplements. The animal industry is a fast follow industry. When you see trends on the human side, typically with a few exceptions, you're going to see the same trends that are going to begin to expand on the companion animal side as well, like joint products, for example. There are a couple of things that don't fit quite as well. Hairball products are really unique to animals and not with people. So,
So
we were formed 2001 with the intention of establishing a system of self-regulation and getting the majority of the industry involved in establishing those processes and pathways so that the government didn't dictate it to us, which may or may not have been exactly the right things to do or the correct pathway. So that's why we were formed. And since our formation in 2001, we're the largest trade association in the world representing companies that sell products, again, similar to human dietary supplements, dogs, cats, and horses.
Well, and of course, it's very interesting to me because I have all of those things, dogs, cats, and horses. I do buy supplements for my animals. And I didn't know until I met you that there was a place that I could go as a consumer to find out whether or not the supplements that I'm offering to my pets have actually been through your process.
Yeah. So our process consists of, we don't sell anything. So we're not trying to, you know, pitch a product to anybody or sell a product. You know, when people, you know, you talk to somebody from a company and everybody's got the best product, right? Everybody's passionate about their product. Everybody's got the best stuff. And, you know, especially with the emergence of e-commerce and the availability of many different products through many different avenues, how do you know what to choose? So I always suggest that people think quality first. Right?
Yes.
And operate from a paradigm of trust, but verify. So the NASC audit program is a very comprehensive program. It's the most advanced program and comprehensive program in existence for independent verification that companies have written quality manuals. They qualify if they don't make their own products, that they qualify their manufacturing partners. They look at quality raw materials, because quality products begin with quality raw materials. If you don't have a quality raw material and quality ingredients, you're not going to have a quality product. So that goes through written, you know, process controls where you do the same thing the same way every time and get consistent outcomes. But you also have to have post-market surveillance and continuous vigilance, because in case something unforeseen happens, you want to be able to identify a problem early on and act on it, right? Like we, you know, a lot of people probably remember the melamine issue back in 2007, 2008.
Right.
There was no early warning system that would alert companies or FDA that there was a problem. So consequently, that progressed for a number of months before it came to light and, you know, action really began to be taken. So we have a very comprehensive program for requirements of all NASC members. And we verify that through our independent audit, where it's an actual on-site examination of the company, similar to an FDA audit, where we verify all the things that I mentioned. So it's trust but verify. And again, I always tell people, think quality first, right? Quality first, because then if you get this, you can repeat the product. The animal will respond the way you hope that they will, and not only the first container or the first bottle or first package, but subsequent packages also.
Absolutely. Well, I think the thing that is even more important is that the members of NASC they're not forced to be members. They do this voluntarily, and they do it because they want to have a quality product.
That's right. And you can't just, you know, send in a note, send in a check, join NASC, and automatically you're a member. You have to qualify for membership, which requires a direct interview with me. It's in our bylaws. We want to be sure that we can help the company, that their products fit under the scope of what we address, and that more importantly, the company is willing to abide by our guidelines. And we have a formal written contract that a principal of the company is required to sign, that they agree to abide by our guidelines. And that's comprehensive: labeling claims, again, adverse event reporting, written quality manuals, proper conduct overall in the industry, giving, you know, consumer confidence and especially in the best interest of the animals.
And then how many members do you have, Bill?
We represent over 285 member companies that market brands. But we have complete, and we've expanded our programs from the time we originally began to, we include contract manufacturers, raw material suppliers, insurance companies, testing laboratories, legal services. So it's complete supply chain management all the way from raw materials to finished products. So 285 brands that you would see out there that the consumer may consider purchasing. But it's really more comprehensive than that.
Yeah, sure sounds like it. And so I think from a pet parent standpoint, it would give me a lot of confidence to know that if somebody was an NASC member and their products had been reviewed, that I could have a high level of confidence in that product.
I think that's absolutely true. And I don't mean to, you know, grandstand. It doesn't mean that NASC members are perfect, right? I mean, anybody can make a mistake. We do have independent, quarterly product testing programs where we'll buy products from the marketplace, we'll test for label claim, and we don't often find something, that's a deviation, but if we do, we require investigation, written corrective action. So it doesn't mean NASC members are perfect, but it does mean that, you know, we continually, it's a process of continuous improvement, and we maintain continuous vigilance, you know. It's not, because quality is never a destination. It's a journey.
Right.
Right? Because we always know more tomorrow than we knew today.
Absolutely.
Right. So
as a consumer, I hear the word supplement. Does that have a unique meaning, supplement?
Supplements is a bit of a confusing term on the animal side. When I hear supplement, I think nutritional supplement, like vitamin, mineral, essential fatty acid, maybe a probiotic product. A supplement, a nutritional supplement would be a product that is intended to make a nutritional contribution as a component of a complete and balanced diet, right? There are also a category of products that are for health purposes, not nutritional purposes. So like a health supplement or a health product for joint health, like glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM, ingredients that people commonly recognize, you know, for joint support or helping maintain healthy joint function. There's no scientific research that requires those ingredients as a part of a normal healthy diet, right? So they're for a specific health purpose. What would some other ingredients be? Coenzyme Q10, milk thistle, SAMe, turmeric, curcumin, a lot of herbals and botanicals. They're for a detoxification agent. They're for specific health benefits, not necessarily nutritional benefits. So when I hear supplement, is it for a health benefit or is it for a nutritional benefit?
And then do you do both though?
We do both. Yep. Okay. Yep. We do both. We don't do complete and balanced diets.
Okay.
So anything in a bag or a can that would be represented as a complete and balanced diet, that's not under our scope. We don't do treats. We had on our list of priorities to expand to treats. However, CBD and the increase in demand for cannabis derivative products put treats kind of further down the list because we've been so focused on cannabis, CBD products, hemp products in the near term. So we don't do complete balanced diets. We don't do treats at this time, and we don't do anything in the production animal side, livestock side.
Okay. So it does sound like then you're actively involved in the CBD supplement world.
We are. Yep. Have been since 2015.
Okay. And I know that there are an awful lot of vendors, let's call them, for yep. CBD products these days for animals.
Sure are. And you got to be really careful of that because, again, it's the same philosophy no matter what product you're buying, it's trust but verify. But with CBD, it's been such an explosive segment of the industry, especially in the last few years, that, you know, it's kind of a gold rush. And so everybody wants to get in on the, you know, the potential economic benefits. So I would say with CBD companies, especially, you want to be sure you're dealing with a quality company and really do some, you know, checking, investigation. Don't hesitate to pick up the phone, talk to the company. You know, ask them about their products, ask them about their testing programs, ask some really pointed, specific questions.
Okay. I think that's really good advice for people because I know just in my own world, looking out there at the world of CBD supplements or really any supplement, it can be overwhelming.
Yeah, it really is. And especially with the explosion of e-commerce, you know, we all have easy access to products and availability. There's a couple of things that I would encourage people to really consider is number one, if you see a product that is cost, you know, half as much as the other one and they look the same, I would, you know, question why that is. And that's true of any product. So if you look at the label, they look comparable on the ingredients, but one of them costs half as much. Stop and question that. The other thing that I tell people that you can take to the bank is companies that make claims that sound too good to be true probably are. So right. There are no magic bullets out there. You know, supplements, whether it's a CBD product or a joint product or any other product, you know, there are many factors that go into this thing that we want to create longevity, health, and wellness, right? It's a three-dimensional sphere that we as pet parents want to put together the pieces that create and optimize the outcome, meaning long, happy, healthy life to the maximum degree possible. Supplements are a component of that, but they're not a magic bullet. So people should know that supplements, no matter what supplements they are, they're not magic bullets. You know, environment, good diet, loving home, all those things are important. Exercise, all those things are important.
Absolutely. And I agree. So this is such an interesting realm of business within the animal world. How did you get interested in doing this?
this is And I'll try to do this with my, so my voice doesn't crack, but it comes back like it was yesterday, it seems. So I was an executive in the medical device industry, but I'm raised in Wyoming. So I had dogs my whole life. You know, I've always loved animals. And I was chief operating officer for a $500 million medical device and drug company on the human side. And I had a dog that got cancer, another dog, hip dysplasia. Had them both successfully treated. And so I transitioned out of human medicine, took a slot as CEO for the third largest specialty companion animal referral center in the U.S. Did that for 3 years. And in the course of that experience, my 11 and a half year old Labrador Retriever, Lancelot, cancer came back second time around. And he was given a very poor prognosis, 3 months with chemotherapy. But the location of the tumor was such that, you know, it was surgically inoperable. I wasn't going to do chemo on an 11 and a half year old dog. So I'm looking for help. I find a veterinarian, formulated a product, changed his diet, and he lived 2.5 years, good quality of life, which led me to start my own company, selling products that are similar to human dietary supplements for animals. And I, you know, you would think with someone with my background, I would have been able to figure out what the regulations were for animal products. Wrong. I made every mistake you can possibly make, it seemed like, and started NASC in 2001 for two reasons. One, we wanted to engage the regulatory agencies to define a responsible pathway that the majority of the industry would help develop with the knowledge of FDA and state regulatory agencies. But also I wanted to differentiate our company because I didn't want to be perceived as selling snake oil.
Right.
So, you know, that was important to me. And that's how NASC got started and also what led me to be involved in the industry. And I got to tell you, it's, you know, things happen in our lives that, you know, completely change the course or direction. And that was one of them. For me, that was one of them. So, you know, we had a company started in 99. I sold the company in 2012, president and founder of NASC. And I feel like that this was what I was put here to do. So it's a, it's been a really rewarding experience. So.
Well, we thank you for that. And, you know, I'm sorry you had to have the sadness that goes along with that. But you're right. We have things that happen to us in our lives that open doors that we didn't expect. Yep. And then we head down pathways that we didn't know existed. And here we are.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, you know, looking back, I feel like that this is why this is what I was put here to do.
Yep. And I hear that it's still hard for you today. Thinking about
It just comes back like it's yesterday, you know?
Yeah.
But they live in your heart forever.
Absolutely. They absolutely do. And we all have those, you know, even if we have a lot of animals, we all have a few that touch us a little bit differently than the other ones.
Yep. Yep. And my dog Lancelot was certainly that way.
Yep. I have had a Papillon who, same thing. I have a hard time thinking about her without becoming very emotional about that.
Yeah. But that's what makes it great. You know, when people like you and I talk or the people who you reach, you know, with your programs and, you know, animal people are just great people. You know, we're passionate, we're loving, caring, and appreciate so much that, you know, our companion animals, they love and trust us unconditionally.
Right? They truly do. Yes, they do.
And so, you know, that's why I think loss is so tough. And it can only be really understood by those of us with that paradigm and mindset and that have experienced it. So that's why it's so rewarding for me to participate in this industry and talk to people like you, Peggy, because, you know, what you do in, you know, life planning, it's something that, you know, all of us, I think, need to think about.
Absolutely. And yet it's hard for even the most stoic of us to think about our own mortality. Yep. And then to think about our own mortality in relation to how it might affect our pets. And my favorite saying these days came from a new client of mine who's 93 years old. Lost her husband after 65 years of marriage. They have no estate planning whatsoever in their whole lifetime. And when we were talking about it, she said, it's not that we thought we were going to live forever. We just didn't think we were going to die.
Yeah.
And I think that that's true for all of us, is that we tend to think that we're always going to have tomorrow. And yet we know very much, we know right now that tomorrow is promised to no one.
Okay, absolutely. You know, it's funny in the context of that conversation that we only really think about, you know, mortality when someone close to us passes or we lose one of our, you know, companion animals that have been there. And then we, you know, we grieve for a period of time and then we kind of go back to our normal daily lives and we may not take the action that we should take. So I can't thank you enough for what you do with, you know, what's going to happen to your animals you leave behind that can't take the care of themselves and love and trust us unconditionally after we pass. So I really, it's a pleasure to be here and I applaud you for everything you do, Peggy.
Well, it kind of goes hand in hand with what you were saying about how you got involved with creating NASC is I, as a little girl, like a lot of little girls, I was going to be a veterinarian and I wanted to be a horse vet. And lo and behold, I never ended up in veterinary school, but I ended up in law school. And through my legal career, you know, have helped literally thousands of families create estate plans and just became so aware of the animals that were family members too, that needed to have the same assurances that our human family members have for what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
So, all right, I want to turn this back around to ASC, and I want to know, how can I know that I'm purchasing a product that has the NASC seal of quality?
Well, a couple of ways. The company that passed the audit and can display the NASC seal on their product, usually they'll put it on the product label. It'll be on the website. Companies are proud of that because it's not an easy bar to clear. People join NASC and the first thing they do is say, you know, how can we get the NASC seal? That's about a 120-day process. And that's if you're committed and fast track it. So look for the NASC seal. We list companies on our website, animalsupplements.org or nasc.cc under the members section, primary suppliers, and audited members are listed first. So if you see a company that has the seal and a green check mark by the company, then those are audited members. So they can check our website to make sure that they're audited. Other companies who are on the website that are not audited, I'm often asked the question, well, how come these companies aren't audited? Well, maybe they're going through the process. Again, it's not, you can't just join and automatically use the seal. You have to qualify and pass the audit, which is independent, but take any corrective action. So look for the seal. We help companies do that. There's a lot of retail partners now that are requiring companies to be audited and have the NASC seal before they'll put them on the shelf. Not to say that there aren't quality companies out there that don't have the NASC seal. There are. They're not very many, but there are a few. But you want to be aware of, you know, the opportunistic companies who may be fast buck artists that just want to make a dollar. And again, look for cheap products are cheap for a reason, and companies that make promises that sound too good to be true probably are. So if they're making wild claims, they're going to cure cancer, relieve pain and arthritis, mention any diseases, those are all red flags.
And I'm looking at your list right now, and it is very comprehensive, and I recognize many, many, many of the certified members.
Yeah, I think most of the leading brands you'll find, there are over 100 companies that have, well over 100 companies, nearly 200 companies that have completed the NASC audit program. So
some of these I notice, or at least one of them is an organization that sells supplements that I know they don't create. They package supplements for distribution. Does that mean that the company is certified, or that that means that all of the products they sell are also certified?
Very good question, and often misunderstood. So it doesn't make any difference whether the company actually manufactures the products themselves or not. The company that markets the product is responsible for everything that happens, including qualifying the contract manufacturer to make sure that they are complying with the good manufacturing practice standards that apply to the particular industry that they participate in. So vendor qualification is a component, raw material qualification is a component, even if they don't actually perform that activity themselves. They have to verify that the people that they depend on upstream are performing those activities to our standards so we have a quality, repeatable product. The company that markets the product, however, is responsible for things that the actual manufacturer is not, like adverse event reporting, post-market surveillance, labeling claims. So all the responsibility rests with the brand, including qualifying any processes that they do not directly control. And we audit all those things.
Okay. I that was a great answer, because it gives me even more confidence in those in those marketing companies.
Right. Yep. And there are a lot of the companies that are not fully vertically integrated manufacturing companies and do depend on somebody else to perform those critical processes in process control, manufacturing, and producing the actual product.
Well, and I'm really happy to see how many companies actually produce the equine products, as we were talking about, because they don't necessarily come to top of mind when you think about companion animal products.
Yep.
Even though our horses are much like our dogs in a lot of ways, they're just bigger versions. So I love seeing how many equine companies you have on there.
Yeah, it used to be that our membership was about 50-50. 50% dog and cat focused companies and 50% equine companies. That's shifted more like 60-40 now. But nearly half of our membership, 40% of our membership, are equine companies. And, you know, pretty much everybody who has horses also has dogs or cats, right?
Almost without exception.
Yep.
And most of them, the more the merrier, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Well, I can't imagine not having a house full of animals just because I'm that person. But I always think I'm like that person who would have had 10 children if I had children. But since I didn't have children, I had 10 dogs instead.
Yeah.
So people say, wow, isn't that a lot of pets? And I look at other people and I go, wow, isn't that a lot of kids?
Exactly. I'm with you.
So I think it's fun from that standpoint. So where would you leave us today, Bill, with advice to pet parents about what NASE does, how parents can benefit from it?
Well, I think, you know, again, be vigilant about the products. I think, you know, we hope people look for the NASE seal and support products, because I think what I would leave people with is, NASE members are contributing to a cause greater than their own individual company self-interest. So NASE members not only help their company make better quality products and serve the animals and the animal owners well, they contribute to making the industry better, which is better for everybody, right? Market expansion, provided that it's quality companies that participate. So we hope that people support NASE members because, again, they're contributing to a cause greater than their own individual company self-interest, and we're very proud of that.
I agree. When we raise the standards, it raises the standards for everybody.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I so appreciate you being here. We've been talking with Bill Bookout. He is the, do I call you the founder or the director?
I'm the president, one of the founders.
Okay.
NASC, just on a last note, NASC was really started in 2001. We had 28 companies that came together. 18 companies stuck and formed the foundation of NASC. I was elected president because I really propelled the organization in the first meeting. Of the 10 companies that did not stick with NASC, every one of those companies today is no longer in business.
Really? That's interesting.
Yep. So we started with, you know, 18 founding member companies foundationally. We had a board of directors that were seven people on the board. I was fortunate enough to be president and, you know, the leader. And I truly, it truly is an honor to be, you know, founding member and president of NASC.
Absolutely.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, Peggy.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And there is an excellent frequently asked questions portion of your website at NASC.cc. What is .cc?
Funny story. Everything that you recognize was taken when we applied for the domain name. So .org, .com, .net, it was all taken. So .cc is what we got back in 2001 when we established the website.
Okay, so NASC.cc or animalsupplements.org.
Correct.
Either one will get you there. We've been talking with Bill Bookout and fascinating. Thank you so much for that information. We are thrilled that each of our listeners could join us today. If you want more information about estate planning for your pets, you can visit actforpets.org, which is Animal Care Trust USA. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter, and you can also find us wherever you get your podcasts. So thank you for joining us. My favorite saying is, until there are none, please adopt one. And until next time, happy tales.
Thank you for joining us on All My Children Wear Fur Coats with your host, Peggy Hoyt. We hope you learned something valuable for the benefit of your pet. We want to keep loved pets in loving homes by educating pet parents about the importance of ensuring every pet has a forever home. Get more information about creating a legacy for your pet at animalcaretrustusa.org or legacyforyourpet.com. Buy a copy of All My Children Wear Fur Coats, How to Leave a Legacy for Your Pet on Amazon. Join our email list or make a donation. Pet professionals and advisors are invited to join our trusted advisor network. Until next time, happy tales!